Welcome to the DOPA podcast, fueling conversations around creative wellness and turning negative barriers into positive tools for mental success. Brought to you by the Department of Proactiveness and your host, Alex Normanton. Joining me today is Liam Houlihan, Creative Director of Bulletproof Amsterdam. We discuss how to navigate from anxiety to excitement and practical tools for mental blocks within the creative process. So we're here today to talk about how to mentally navigate from anxiety to excitement. Really looking forward to unpacking this topic. It's going to kind of take on a personal slash business slant, I think, this one. Mm-hmm. How anxiety can be used in a positive way and used as a tool to really turn into excitement, and how to channel it and how to learn how to channel it, because it is kind of a necessary part of the creative process. So we'll get into this, but yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Ah, it's a pleasure. Yeah, I'm really excited about this one.
Cool, me too. Yeah, looking forward to getting into it today.
So how long have you been in Amsterdam now?
Not that long. I've been here since July last year, so coming on 10 months now.
And how's it going?
It's going great. I mean, I haven't lived here under normal times, as it were.
Yeah.
So last summer was, things were open. It was fun. I could get out and about and have really spent the last 7 months living in lockdown. But an amazing city to live. Being able to get everywhere on your bike and be a little bit more connected to the city has been great.
Yeah.
But yeah, really, really positive.
Albeit you don't tend to really cycle the commute from your house to the office, do you? Because it's literally around the corner.
Yeah, two doors down.
So mainly cycling, getting around the city and into the countryside.
Yeah.
Can you talk a bit about what your personal perspective on anxiety is?
And let's do it.
When that sort of feeling starts to bubble up really inside. And that could be from a business perspective, or it could also be from a personal perspective.
I think I have to start with a personal perspective, because I can't claim to be an expert on anxiety or the different manifestations of that. But what I can talk about is how it affects me and the experiences that I've had with it. And you started by saying that, you know, it's a necessary part of what we do. And to an extent, I completely agree with that. I feel that actually, for me, the big unlock with working with anxiety for me was recognizing when I was anxious or recognizing when I was stressed, and using that moment to pause, step back, step out of it, and kind of clear my head. And I don't think anxiety necessarily is a tool for creativity. I think, you know, there's a saying that diamonds aren't forged without pressure. But I don't think pressure is stress. I think pressure can be something that we put on ourselves because we have drive and ambition and we're competitive and we're creative. And I think that's great. And without that, we wouldn't be in this fantastic industry where things are pushed and challenged all of the time. But anxiety, I think, is different. I don't think stress necessarily needs to impact the work that we do. And I think actually it has a negative detriment because it clouds your thought and it clouds the creative judgment in that process. So a long way around the question, I guess, but
it's okay.
I think understanding when you're or just recognizing when you're anxious and when it's starting to manifest and being able to kind of identify that, that's been the game changer for myself.
Can you describe the feeling for how that manifests itself for you personally?
I think for me, when I'm stressed, I realize that I probably haven't been able to look away from my computer for 9 hours or get off emails. I probably don't take time to have a proper lunch break and eat well. I don't sleep as well when I'm stressed, and I think I'm more in the motions of the day-to-day rather than being able to kind of step back and kind of think about it a little bit more holistically and with a little bit more kind of bigger thought or bigger oversight.
Mm-hmm.
So really, yeah, I can feel it in my gut and in my heart, but then also it does actually kind of come out in patterns of behavior that I definitely notice as well.
What would you say are those patterns of behavior?
It's funny, right? Because stress and anxiety can be caused by too much work. And then my response to that is to work harder and try to kind of get ahead of it and get one foot in front of the problem so that you're no longer stressed. And I think it's funny because it's a funny way to try and approach it. And it doesn't really work because the moment then you put more into your work, it becomes self-perpetuating and it causes more stress and anxiety. So I think actually the solve is to remove yourself and to take a break and to step out of that.
Yeah, so you're kind of saying that stress and anxiety are kind of interlinked in a way?
Yeah, I think they're one and the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's lots of types of anxiety and lots of types of stress, but for me, they're a similar feeling and they are interlinked, yeah.
Just going back a little bit, so you mentioned just in preparation for the session that you've moved 3 countries. In what time frame, actually?
Oof.
10 years?
Yeah, in the last 10 years.
Through that move from different cultures, different countries, in some of the most stunning cities in the world, do you have a different sense of anxiety in making those moves on a personal level to the anxiety you feel within a day-to-day creative process?
Yeah, 100%. I think there's that good feeling of nervousness that you get when you want to take something on new and take on a new challenge. And that in itself is a form of anxiety. And I think that's what drove me to move countries, to move offices and take on these new responsibilities. And that was partly because of a restlessness within myself and probably a feeling of uncontentedness where I wanted to be really challenged and really pushed and put myself in a position where I can fail. Because I wanted to feel that level of anxiety, as it were. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But would you describe it as a healthy anxiety then?
I would, yeah. I think it's an excited anxiousness.
And challenge.
And challenge, yeah.
Yeah. And you feel that in terms of personal and professional moving cities?
Yeah.
And day to day?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in terms of moving cities, I think move into the Netherlands has been very eye-opening in terms of people's comfort with talking about mental health, people's openness to be vulnerable in a way, because I'd never heard of burnout leave before I moved here. And I know it's becoming more and more of a common topic, but I think, you know, London 7 years ago, New York 2 years ago, I know many companies and people, my friends included, that wear their stress is almost a badge of pride. And you're not working hard enough unless you're a little bit stressed and a little bit anxious. And I think moving here, I've seen a bit of a shift, or a big shift in terms of it's more empowerment to the employee. It's more about, you know, taking charge of your own mental well-being. And not feeling so overworked and overwhelmed and giving people a little bit more headspace.
I mean, I guess you obviously working in New York, the Big Apple, that's the city that never sleeps. You could argue that the stress and anxiety is very, very visible on a daily basis.
You 100%.
Feel it in the city. The parallel is actually by moving to Amsterdam, especially now. I mean, it's freakily quiet out in there in the early evening where usually it'd be really crazy busy. There's definitely a lot more relaxed nature to life in the Netherlands, but actually everyone's still working incredibly hard, but there seems to be the appreciation of, as you say, mental health, keeping your mind healthy, your body healthy, and that deemed to be almost as important, if we're looking at parallels, as important as working so mm-hmm. hard and seeming to have what you've called the trophy of looking stressed and worked, which is quite ironic, I think.
Yeah, completely. I mean, for myself, I probably only realized that I had a breaking point when I was living in New York and working myself too hard. I think, you know, none of us are experts. I think the moment that we deem ourselves experts, we're probably fools because we're not learning from other people around us. But I was working myself to the bone and trying to take on more and more responsibility because I didn't realize those signs of stress and those signs of being overly anxious to the point where mm-hmm. I got sick and had to take some time out. And I now can see that and I'm aware of my own levels of ability and capacity. And due to that, know when to call people in, know when to look for support, know when to talk to people, know when to lean on the team around you and not try to do everything mm-hmm. yourself. And that was a big unlock in my career in terms of management, in terms of building the studio. It's about leaning on the team around me, leaning on their shared knowledge, their shared skills to make everybody's life easier and not trying to do it all yourself.
Yeah, that kind of comes with maturity, I think, in the role and in your career, where typically if you're under stress and anxiety, you tend to go in the cave and go, leave me alone because yeah. I need to figure this out, which can sometimes be seen as a sign of weakness, but actually it's your biggest strength to come outside the cave and go, hey, I need some help here.
Yeah, completely.
And it becomes a shared responsibility, actually more of a team effort rather than an individual flying the flag for, yeah, I'm going to conquer this.
Yeah.
Which is about, yeah, as you say, as a creative director, it's often a pitfall people fall into in terms of letting go of what they used to do as a design director or senior designer, hands-on mm-hmm. stuff, rather than stepping back and delegating and directing the team collectively.
Yeah, completely.
To the same endpoint, but actually a richer endpoint because of collaboration.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one to learn, and I don't think I've ever got that balance 100%.
I don't know if I've got it down 100% either, but can try.
I saw a thing recently, actually, someone posted on LinkedIn and in response to a different episode, but they were saying they kind of admired the David Ogilvy quote of what a creative director is. So either you're too firm or you're too soft or you're too critical or you're not critical enough or, you know, you're not empathetic, you're too harsh. It's a circular head conversation I've often had within my own mind that you can never get it right 100% of the time. But I think as long as your intention is correct, it's always going to be a highly critical, acclaimed role, isn't it?
Yeah, completely.
And I think most of the people who are successful in those roles recognize that and also just put their hands up and go, look, I got it wrong. I'm only human. And so I think it's just being mindful of that, I think.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, mistakes happen and it's not the end of the world. Everyone learns from it and we move on and on to the next.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked a little bit about anxiety, but I think also from a business side of things and the creative process side of things, it's a feeling that's often linked to the fear of the unknown, really, and the problem that we have to solve. What do you think contributes to that feeling of anxiety within the day-to-day, within a project context? So you get that brief, it lands on your desk. What happens?
Oh, I think that's a good fear. I think that's a good anxiety that we talked about that is kind of the same as moving to another country. It's a big unknown, but with a big reward. And I think the reason why it can become overwhelming or stressful is when the brief is too woolly or the problem's too fluffy. I think the more you dig into it...
Very much a sheep analogy.
the more you dig into the problem, the simpler the task becomes, because at the crux of any brief really should be one very tight particular problem. And if you can identify what that is, I think it's easier to then solve it and it becomes less daunting. And I think it's about, again, using team, using processes to kind of pick away or shear that sheep, as it were, to find out what's believable.
You can have that one, by the way. It's your trademark now for the creative process. For that. Let's go shear the sheep.
I don't know if I want to be known as the sheep shearing.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, that it's a different kind of anxiety with a big creative brief or a big strategic challenge. And it's one that you can chip away at. And essentially, it's about leaning into it, identifying that problem, and then it makes it more manageable and more palatable.
Would you say it's definitely a necessary component to a project?
I think so. I mean, by the very essence of what we do, every brief is different, every problem's unique. And if that wasn't a component of our day-to-day, I don't think I would do it. I mean, I don't think I'd be excited by it, and I don't think it would be a challenge. And it would essentially be easy, right? And
yeah, I guess it becomes one of those functional briefs. We want this by this date, go deliver.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, yeah, we used to have two different types of briefs in the agency. A functional brief, usually going into an art worker with slight oversight. It's very simple, straightforward, do what it says. And then you have the creative brief, which is, what's the problem we're trying to solve?
And they're the briefs we want. They're the holy grail briefs that we work our whole careers to try to get the chance to crack. And they're the ones that keep us awake at night. They're the ones that, you know, you're thinking about in the shower, because that's something your brain can't just switch off from. Even when I talked about, you know, I believe that being able to kind of walk away from your screen, switch off from the problem, is such an important tool in reducing anxiety and alleviating stress. But with those kind of briefs, I mean, you can't turn that off. And that's what's amazing about it. And that's what's exciting. And that's what really creates the best work, I think.
It is like that seesaw, isn't it? Between anxiety, excitement.
Yeah.
This is massive as a project. Oh, but couldn't it be amazing? And you kind of go around this cycle, don't you?
Yeah.
That's not quite, but it could be. You know, and that's ultimately, it is kind of this, well, not coining a pun, but it is creative dopamine.
Yeah, completely.
It's addictive.
Yeah.
That's why we're in the business.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
What words of advice would you give to people who do feel that anxiousness within the project context?
I mean, the main piece of advice I think I'd give to somebody is to recognize why we do the job in the first place. And it's to challenge yourself, be creative, and have fun. And if you put everything into the context of this should be fun, I mean, it's a highlight of our client's day is to see the creative work that we've been doing. It's not worth getting yourself overly worked up about. I mean, have a bit of anxiety, have a bit of drive, push yourself, but don't let it get to the point where that anxiety takes hold of you, takes hold of the work, and creates a barrier to what you could do or create. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, and I definitely hold on to the principle of that. I guess sometimes in day-to-day working life in a global design consultancy, the budget's not large, the time's not very big, the client is interesting but problematic.
Mm-hmm.
There's a list of things that could go on which potentially could be quite anxious for some people, realizing the size of the team, the size of the ambition. And it's always this trade-off between ambition, time, budget, and getting that sweet spot figured out. But ultimately, the reason why we got into the industry is to have fun, solve problems, and rise up to the creative challenge.
Do knockout creative. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's hard to remember that some days.
Yes.
Also just reminds me of the Mitchell and Webb brain surgeon, rocket scientist. And sometimes it's helpful to think about it in those terms, I think. You know, at the end of the day, it's not rocket science.
Yeah.
But we care passionately about what we do, and we're putting ourselves into the work. So you kind of feel that responsibility sometimes.
Yeah, completely. There are other steps that we can implement to make sure that we're putting people's health first and people's people's mental health, especially during COVID. I think it's really prevalent and really important to make sure that people feel connected. I think allowing forums for people to share thoughts, have chats, reconnect with people it seems simple, but it is something that we do on a daily basis to make sure that we are still working as a team. We're still connecting.
Mm-hmm.
I think allowing people to have time out of their day is really important. And, you know, small things like blocking out people's calendars over their lunch break so they don't have to have meetings. They've got a chance to get outside, go for a walk,
mm-hmm. clear their head
is another really small actionable step that we can do to give people some mental clarity and some space, which is great.
We'll come on to a few more of those practical tools later, but as an agency and embedding those into everyday culture, I actually think some of those things are probably as prevalent outside of COVID as well.
I hope it's a learning that people take on across industries. Connections are so important. Knowing that people's mental well-being is very important and something that we should definitely think more about in a workplace environment. So definitely something that we'll be carrying forward for sure.
Yeah, and defending those things as well, because it's very tempting to put those things in place, but it's also very tempting to overshadow that.
Yeah.
And go, oh, it's just this one meeting. I'm sorry. It's cutting your lunch break short by 10 minutes. Like, well, no, you've broke the principle, so therefore it's not happening.
Yeah, completely.
I mean, there's always things that come up that, you know, it's always, well, just this one thing because the client can't do another time for sure. But I think defending those principles is more important sometimes as putting them in place.
Yeah, completely.
Well, that's nice to hear, actually, that the company is that way inclined and thinking that way.
Yeah, I've been with the company for 9 years now and still independent, still run by the two founders that created it. And I think the team mentality is really important. And looking after the people around us is something that's definitely part of the company culture.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing that to life and practices is you know, the proof in action, mm-hmm. which is really important.
And I guess also that's one of the advantages of being an independent creative agency.
Yes. Yeah, completely.
Nice. How do you think we can start to break the anxiety cycle sooner, inject more excitement into the process?
Using different ways to find and draw inspiration. As I was saying earlier, kind of getting away from your machine, stepping outside, taking off your headphones. And I think for me, a saving grace through COVID has been having a dog and having an excuse to get out and go to the park and clear my head. And, you know, people kind of switch off in a multitude of ways, whether that's exercise, yoga, going for a walk. But I think taking those mental breaks to find inspiration, whether it's reading a book,
mm-hmm.
listening to your favorite album.
Which is what, by the way?
My favorite album.
Not Girls Aloud, is it?
My first album was Fatboy Slim.
Nice.
Still holds up. You know, getting off Pinterest, getting off the same resources to feel inspired and feel engaged and just getting out, opening your eyes and looking for inspiration elsewhere.
If all the designers and creatives are looking in exactly the same places for inspiration, then you're already bringing in the same references.
Completely.
And then everything starts looking the same and there's no freshness or a slight wild card to the problem, which I think is dangerous, actually.
The heart of a creative idea is it's that unexpected glue that brings two things together. And like you're saying, if we're going to the same resources over and over again, it's just going to breed mundanity into the world of design, which nobody wants.
So if we've talked about anxiety being the fear of the unknown and the problem that we're trying to solve, we move on to excitement, which is the fun bit.
Yes.
It's often linked to the solution and actually cracking the problem.
Yeah.
Which is where the fun starts and that ability to play really comes into force. If we're looking at the creative process, when would you say your mind starts to shift from anxiety into that excitement gear?
Starting to see what the potential big idea is, but not yet knowing what the design solution is. So there's a heap of potential, but it hasn't been done yet. And I think that's when I feel really excited, is when I can go to the team with a thought, with an idea, and put it on them to solve it. Because so many times I go into a crit, see the work, and I never expected to see what the guys have done, and it takes you aback. And I think that's really exciting in terms of just, yeah, being able to unlock a big idea.
Yeah.
It'll bring it to life in a way that you never really expected.
Sometimes it just happens because you walk past someone's screen or you're in a crit and you're like, whoa, that's amazing.
I mean, for me, exciting work is work that challenges you, whether it's challenging residual design conventions and is fresh and it feels cool and relevant and youthful, or it's about challenging the status quo of what we think a brand or a product should be about. And that's when it's really exciting, is when we do something really new, really, really rule breaking that feels like it's carving out a new category or a new space for design.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any tips on how to get to that stage quicker?
I wish I did. That would be the million-dollar answer. No, I mean, I don't have the golden bullet for that in terms of a simple answer. I think approaching every project with some freshness, with some naivety, is important. So you don't try and do the same strategic tools over and over. We don't implement the same creative approach of a mild to wild design solution. It's about, again, just understanding what the problem is and trying to come up with the best solve for that. And I think that is simple in principle, but very hard to action.
Yeah. And it's often the way that it's really easy to talk about outside of the pressure pot situation.
Yeah, completely.
And we're almost like the gurus of design process in this conversation. And we know the principles,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it can get overshadowed by anything, really. Could be something going on in your personal life. Could be a situation on the way to work. Could be someone needs to wake up a little bit more and have some coffee before you can actually have a decent conversation. It could be a million one of those things.
Especially, say, in a pitch situation, you've got 2 weeks to deliver and you want to try something new. That's when you've got to, you know, back yourself. Stand behind your anxiety and be like, you know what, I'm gonna go at it. I'm gonna put it out there. And often that's when the design work is the most interesting and innovative and fresh, because you had the balls to back it up and to overcome that fear and do something that feels really, really different.
Yeah, which is often nice, isn't it? If you can kind of have that ballsy idea that's a bit of a wild card.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, are you absolutely sure about this one? And you're like, yeah, I am actually. I think this is an interesting route. And in the mm-hmm. back of your mind going, is the client going to go for this? Who knows? But in the room when you're presenting it, I think sometimes you're trying to present equally the routes in the same fashion, but secretly you really yeah. want that wild card to be the one. And so when a client yeah. potentially turns around to you and says, I love that.
Yeah, 100%.
Awesome. You know, you feel that energy, and I think they see that energy and passion in that wild card route, which makes it super exciting, right?
Yeah, I think that feeling, right? That feeling after you've created something and sold that idea. It's why we get out of bed in the morning.
And that's that dopamine thing kicking back in. That's the buzz that you're kind of living for, that moment in a way. Yeah. Apart from the alarm going off and you have to turn it off.
And the dog needing to go for a pee.
Yeah. Looking back on those times where you felt anxious moving internationally and situations in work as well as in life, what have you learned from those times?
And this is a little bit stereotypical, I guess, but as a British man, I feel like I've always been a little bit closed off emotionally, a bit stiff upper lip, and not very open to talking about my feelings or any kind of mental health issues. But I think, you know, as time's gone on, as I've kind of matured in my my life and my role at work, I really understand and value the importance of sharing information, sharing how you're feeling, not internalizing things and not letting that stress build up, because it does build up, right? It's like a pressure cooker and it can kind of build up until you blow and it takes over. I think that's one thing. And, you know, using exercise as an outlet, getting outside, getting out in nature, is super important for me as well. So it's identification. And then when you recognize it, it's about being able to step away and kind of actioning some practices, whether it's exercise, yoga, meditation, to kind of alleviate that and overcome that.
From the simplest of things to the magnificent. It gives you energy, doesn't it?
I think so. If we think about biomimicry and think about how even our city lives are so influenced by the outdoors and by nature, it's something that you don't want to escape from, but you can't escape even if you tried.
We're kind of coming into land.
All right.
We talked earlier in the session about a few of those practical tools on how to break the anxiety circle, and how to inject more life and excitement into the creative process.
Yeah.
Is there anything additional you can add into that that's helpful?
Yeah. Just allowing that time to switch off, get away from screen, blocking out people's lunch diaries. We've closed the office for the last Friday of every month for a mental wellness day, so people can, you know, take some more time to call their families or see some friends.
I love what you said in our preparation for this in terms of resource planning and almost building in 20% extra in terms of time.
Yeah, we know things take longer, right? We know not being in the same room has an effect on time frame of projects, and just being mindful of that when you're planning out creative strategic resource, so that you can not overwork the team. You build it into the time frame so that we're delivering the work to the highest standard, but not doing it at a detriment to the people that have to get that work done.
Yeah.
So I think that's a smart way to work more efficiently and more effectively when we're all remote.
I think it's kind of a circular economy, isn't it? By you appreciating your staff and your team and your comrades and friends, they are your work family.
Yeah.
And by appreciating those little things, I think they come back at the company and the attitude and the appetite to do great things and do great work.
As a business, our team, they're our assets. And if you don't look after the people, everything would suffer. So really, I think that's the most important thing that we need to be mindful of moving forward is people's anxiety levels, people's stresses, making sure that they're best equipped to do the best work and excite everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to summarize, and then we'll wrap.
All right.
But not in the Will Smith kind of way. it's just genuinely really lovely to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
I really just see almost like a different currency and a different way of working, both from a personal perspective to a company perspective. I think those things should be really applauded. And yeah, I think to embrace the anxiety in a way, if it's the tough and negative side of anxiety in your own mind and you're really struggling to function, then yeah, get out into nature, take a break, get off the screens and turn those notifications off. But also on the positive side of it, use it as that tool to get towards excitement first and be excited about that destination, ultimately cracking that problem and coming up with a really interesting solution. I think, you know, there's always going to be a slight anxiety to the brief initially, but from experience, you know you're going to land at that excited destination where everyone's cheering, clients buying it. You've done an amazing piece of work. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for your candidness. The welcome into this building. I wish you all the success here, actually.
Cheers, Alex.
In your career and building the team. And excited to see what comes out of this office, actually, in Amsterdam, because it's exciting.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We're you know, we're just getting started here. I too can't wait to grow the team more here. And like you said, turn that anxiety into a real positive energy force that can drive growth here and really push the work forward.
Thanks, Liam.
Thanks a lot.
All right, cheers. This podcast was brought to you by the Department of Proactiveness and was recorded in accordance with the social distancing laws. If you are a brand interested in sponsoring future episodes of DOPA, or you simply want to get in touch, please email info@thedopa.com. Don't forget to follow and subscribe.